Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Hey cuties, welcome back to the show. I'm so delighted and honored and just so happy to be sharing the wisdom and the stories with you today and diving in and illuminating various aspects of my story and my journey, as multifaceted and layered and complex as it is, because I recently realized through talking to a friend of mine on Instagram. We haven't ever met in real life, but we always chat in the DMs and we've collaborated a bunch of times. And she said to me that she didn't really feel like she knew my backstory. She didn't know like the deeper pieces to my journey and who I am. And she was really curious about it. And so I thought, oh my goodness, like if this person who I feel like I have this, like quite, I wouldn't say like a close relationship with, but like a relationship where we talk all the time, we share each other's stuff, we've collaborated, we've podcasted together. Like if she doesn't know, then certainly a lot of people in my audience probably don't know too. And so I wanted to just pull back the curtain and let you in a little closer and share about my journey. And I think it's going to be a really powerful one for anyone who's listening, who's ever looked at me and thought that I am unapologetic and fierce and confident and powerful, and maybe just thinking that it's always been that way for me, and letting you in on the journey of becoming that kind of woman, because I definitely have not always been this kind of woman. And so that's what this episode is all about, and I'm just going to share from my heart. I've got a little bit of a cold. You can probably hear that, but you know, the truths are here to be shared, so I'm just rolling with it. So before we dive in, I just want to let you know about a few different ways that you can work with me. If you've been in my field for a while, if you feel really called to play in my space in some kind of way, there's so many ways to do that. There's so many different options and price points and containers that all have a different energy and a different flavor to them. And one of the best ways to start engaging with me, my space, my energy, my work, if you're kind of newer on the journey, or even if you're well seasoned on your personal development journey, is my monthly membership. It's called Orgasmic Ascension. And it's such a beautiful space where you can come, because we do live events every month. So every month on the full moon, we do breathwork. And the way that I host breathwork is this really powerful method. And it's so beautiful to do it on the full moon, because that's usually when our emotions are really heightened around the full moon. And so it's a really good time to let go. And breathwork is one of the deepest ways to let go, to manifest, to call in your desires, to see deeper truths, to connect with your spirit guides or your higher self. And it's just a really beautiful experience to do live. Or if you do the replay, then you can do the replay around the same time on that full moon if you're in a different time zone. And then on the new moon, we have a masterclass, and we always bring in the most incredible, juicy guest experts. I call in my favorite teachers, my favorite facilitators to collaborate on these and to bring you their wisdom and their codes. And they're always just so explosive and amazing, and the members can't get enough. And then sometimes I host those masterclasses myself as well. And then throughout that month, I also give you some kind of supportive tool like meditation or a ritual to go with the theme of the month. And coming up in December, so depending when you're listening to this, this might already be happening, or if you're listening in real time, then it's happening in a few weeks. We're bringing in an amazing astrologer, one of my friends, one of my former clients, an amazing, amazing teacher in the astrological world, Oath Oracle, aka Aisha. And Aisha is going to give us a really deep transmission every single month about what to expect from the stars and the cosmos and how to work with the new moon energy and how to manifest. So I'm so excited to be bringing this into the community and into the space. So it's really a really powerful way to start engaging with your spirituality, your personal development, or just a place where you can come for self-care, for meditation, for ritual space, for practices, and also to connect with other women on the journey. So I really recommend checking that out. And yeah, it's a vibe. Then I also have a bunch of self-led courses on my website that you can take. So I have a course called Wild Sexy Money. That's a really powerful one if you want to start having a more playful and a more sensual and a more expansive experience of your money mindset. There's also Cosmic Creatrix, which is my signature manifesting course. It's such a beautiful, powerful course. There's so many things inside of this course: workshops, transmissions, rituals, assignments every day, hypnotherapy, stuff for recoding your ancestral blueprints around money. So that's a really beautiful one to take if you're on a journey of manifesting. And then there's the Goddess Rhythm. The Goddess Rhythm is for newer entrepreneurs who want to do business in a more feminine way. And it is a self-led course. It's full of trainings. Like, there are hours and hours and hours of trainings in there. I think there's more than 40 or 50 hours of trainings in there at the moment. But the really exciting thing that I'm bringing to that space in 2022 is that I'm going to offer live Q&A sessions. So you can actually come and ask questions in real time and meet other people who are inside of that course. So I'm really excited to be bringing that in 2022. And then the really exciting, juicy thing that is currently on offer and starting to launch in my space is my newest program, Unapologetic. So Unapologetic is a year-long business mastermind for women who want to unleash their spicy business rebel, to untame their leadership, and to say yes to an exponential year and really tap into that essence of what unapologetic business and leadership and expression and doing work that you love, what that means for you. So I'm so excited to be enrolling that at the moment. And I'll leave all these links in the show notes so you can DM me on Instagram if you have any questions or curiosities, because I'm always available to answer questions that you have. But for now, we're going to dive into the juice and the depth and the story and the magic. So as I kind of mentioned before, something that people really project me as, something that people see me as, something that people see me as a permission slip for, is this unapologetic, bold confidence and personal power and what it means to be in your sensuality and your wealth and your fierceness and your expression and all of these things. And I love receiving that perception. And I really feel like this is the true essence of who I am and who I was born to be. However, what I will say is that it's been a roller coaster journey to this point of being anchored in that truth of my identity. And the reason I want to share that is because it's very easy to look at people online or to look at leaders or even to women that you look up to or you admire and think that they just were born that way. They just came out of their mom's vagina being fierce and sassy and all of the things. Now, in some ways, I did come out of my mom's vagina. as a sassy little girl. When I was really, really young, like really young, before all of the conditioning and the imprinting and the cultural stuff started like getting its hooks into me, I was quite a fierce little girl. I was always really caring and really attentive and sensitive in a way, but I was also really strong-minded. I had a really strong will. I had a really direct way of communicating. I was really extroverted and I was a little bit bossy at times. And we're going to talk about this word bossy because it's an interesting one and it had a really big impact on me being called that as a young girl, as young as like 3 or 4 years old. So from what I can remember and understand, my parents did celebrate this aspect of me. My parents are legends, right? Like every single parent, they have their flaws and they have their things, but I adore my mom and dad and I know that they did the absolute best that they could and they offered me so much space to be myself. But as I started getting into the culture, into the world, as young as 4 years old when I went to kindy, this is when the projections and the watering down of who I was began. And I'm sure many of you can resonate with this, or even you might have kids who are experiencing this when they're going to school or they're going to daycare. So something I started getting criticized for as young as 4 in kindergarten was being bossy or being too much or, being too explicit with the way that I was communicating. And it was something that kept happening. And throughout my childhood, I started dampening down. I started wanting to hide because I didn't want to be seen as too much. I didn't want to get in trouble. I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to be punished for being a certain way. And so I started making myself wrong for that. And what happened was it was like a pendulum that swung the other way, where I came across as kind of bubbly and happy and friendly, but I was never actually truly being who I was. I was never really saying the things that I wanted to say. I was doing things to fit in, to subscribe to the good girl mentality, and I wanted to be seen in that way. And so my personality started morphing into that. And what that led to, and this is so my Cancer South node, was that I ended up just kind of being a bit of a doormat, ending up in friendships, even really early on when I was a girl, that were not, you know, beautiful, equal dynamics. It was like, I was the one who would take the shit. I was the one who would listen to what others wanted me to do, and I would do that, and I would do that to be easygoing and to fit in. And on a very real level, this impacted me so deeply and traumatically because when I was 10 or 11, I can't remember the exact time because the trauma and the memories are pretty distorted. I was going through sexual abuse. I was being violated and I said nothing. I did nothing because I wanted to be the good girl. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to speak up. I didn't want to ruffle feathers. I didn't want to make anyone upset. I didn't want to make my parents upset. I didn't want to be punished. And so I internalized and I repressed. And I repressed it and I buried it, hoping that the memory of that, the impact of that would go away. And what happened was throughout my teenage years, I was living this lie of being this good girl on the outside, but actually kind of being like a bad girl on the inside, or at least feeling that way about myself. And this started erupting into some pretty harmful habits. I started self-harming around 13. I was binge drinking all the time, but still getting really good grades in school, working and studying really hard, but then kind of doing all of this crazy shit on the weekends. And I mean, some of this is like teenage experimentation, right? But for me, it wasn't harmless. It wasn't just, oh, she's experimenting. For me, this was the external result of all of these aspects of myself that I had buried, all of the trauma that was in my body, and I was trying to escape it. I was trying to pretend it didn't exist because it didn't fit with this narrow, good girl, not bossy, not too much, not naughty role, or these shoes that I was trying to fill, these shoes I was pretending to fill. And so no one knew that there was anything wrong with me because I was really good at keeping my shit together on the outside in alignment with that identity that I was falsely trying to portray. And long story short, this way of being, these patterns of behaviors started to escalate as I got older, as I became a young woman. And I eventually moved across the other side of Australia from my family. And this is when I really started spiraling downwards because there was no one around anymore that I had to keep my shit together for or pretend to. And I was suddenly in this huge apartment at 19 years old with no one around, and I could just do whatever I wanted. And I fell in with a pretty interesting crowd. I started dating a guy who I now believe was a drug dealer, and I started getting really into drugs, and my partying escalated. And again, I was still going to university every day. I was going to one of the best fashion schools in Australia. I was still somehow getting my grades popping, even though I was staying out all night, sometimes 6 nights a week until 6 a.m. I'd smoke a cigarette in the car going to class, having no sleep, still kind of high from the night before. And I was still somehow keeping it together in some ways on the outside. I had amazing internships at brands that everyone wanted to work at. But the reality was that I was spiraling out of control and no one was there to stop that or to ask if I was okay. Partly because I was so good at keeping that veneer going on the outside, but also because I felt very alone in the world. And I had no experience with emotionally communicating what was going on for me. I had no emotional intelligence that I had access to. I didn't have any tools. I didn't have any understanding of therapy or coaching or spirituality. And I was so disrupted internally that I couldn't even bear to sit at home and watch a movie by myself. I couldn't be alone because that's how, in hindsight, how uncomfortable I was being with what was beneath the surface. And so I numbed it and I covered it and I consumed everything that I could to not look at that. And by this point, I had forgotten the abuse. I don't have like a clear understanding of when the memory of it left and, you know, when I actually forgot or when I buried it. But at this point in my life, I was completely unconscious to that. I was doing all these things and I just thought in my head, I'm just fucked up, right? Sometimes I would smoke 40 cigarettes in a day. I would light the next cigarette with the one that I was still smoking. There was trash in my apartment. I would have rubbish everywhere. People, when I tell them this, can barely believe it because of how I am now and how like fancy and put together they think that I am now. But this was the reality. And I was also seeing these distortions show up in my sexuality as well. So I was sleeping with a lot of people. I was getting really high, really drunk, really out of my mind, sleeping with people, forgetting about it, and just not respecting myself in any way, shape, or form. But again, the inner narrative for me was like, I'm just fucked up. I don't know why I do these things. I don't know why I drink myself to the point of blackout. I don't know why I drink a whole bottle of vodka every time I go out. I don't know why I'm so uncomfortable to sit at home, so I'll go down to the pub on my own, hoping to meet someone that I know. And this downward spiral really crystallized around 23 years old for me. At this stage in my life, I'd slightly toned down the intensity of what I'd been doing because I'd been in a relationship and we'd been living together. So I was kind of like still doing those things, but also playing house with this boyfriend at the time. And what happened was that we had a really messy breakup. We kind of broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together. And he ended up moving out. It was very dramatic and very catastrophic. And through the experience of that breakup, there was also something going on between him and one of my good friends who I was living with. And so it was just a huge shit show of pain and drama and betrayal. And I'd sort of started seeing someone else right after we broke up. And so there was a lot of just crazy energy going on. And for me, I wasn't someone who was accustomed to actually feeling my feelings and feeling what was going on. So I was in a lot of blame. I was in a lot of outsourcing of my power. I was in a lot of just feeling incredibly rejected, feeling betrayed, but also hating myself for like the role that I had played in all of this and just feeling so alone in the world. And I remember just crying in my apartment on the bathroom floor and just thinking that I was so alone in the world and that nobody loved me, that nobody cared. And I felt like trash and I felt like people treated me like trash. And that's how I felt about myself. And so around this time, I also had a pretty good job, again, keeping that fancy, fabulous veneer on the outside. I was living in this really cool apartment in Bondi right near the beach. I had this fashion job that was this really sought after job at a brand. No one else could like get a job like this, but I somehow got a job like this. And I was going to work and I was suddenly unable to keep a lid on my emotions the way that I had been previously. So before I was really good at just like switching out, disassociating and numbing out to what was there and just getting what needed to be done, like ticking the box. But suddenly I felt very fragile. I felt very in touch with my emotions. I felt like my emotions were out of control and I felt out of control. Like I couldn't just show up and put on a smile and fake it anymore. And this started disrupting me at work and I started getting, you know, these kind of reprimands for that, conversations happening in the office around why I'm not doing my job properly or showing up in a certain way. And it was incredibly difficult because again, I didn't know how to articulate my emotional experience. I didn't know how to ask for help because since 11 years old, when all of that crazy shit happened to me, I just went within myself, buried it, and I didn't dare ask for help. I didn't tell anyone what was happening. I didn't know how to receive support. I didn't know how to empathize with myself. So why would I believe that anyone would empathize with me? And so this was very confronting. And this was the beginning of an unraveling of the memories and eventually my greatest healing. So this was happening at work. And then it started getting more and more intense where I started having these really intense panic attacks. And I'd never had panic attacks before because my default setting was like more like numbness and not feeling anything. So when this started happening, it was incredibly overwhelming for me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what it even was. I remember standing on the street thinking that I was having a heart attack. I remember driving my car and thinking, oh my goodness, like I could have just crashed this car. And I realized this was the one thing that I couldn't just cover up or predict or numb out or bury because they would just come on without any warning and they couldn't be covered up. And so it was this that actually prompted me to ask these deeper questions around, okay, this is not okay. I am not okay. I don't really even want to be around anymore. What's the point? But there was this other voice inside of me, probably my higher self, my wiser self, my soul, that reached out this olive branch to me and was like, ask for help. And so back then, I didn't have any experience with God or spirit or therapy. I don't think I even knew anyone who had ever gone to therapy. I was not in that world whatsoever, but I knew obviously what a therapist was and that they probably helped people going through these things. But I didn't have the money to go to therapy. And it wasn't just a simple like get on a free wait list. And so I sort of avoided for a little bit. I called a few helplines, spoke to a few people, and then I realized, you know, I really need to do something about this because at the rate that I'm going, I'm not going to be here by the end of the year. Like I'm not going to be here. It's that bad. And so I remember I had to call up my dad, and I'd never had a conversation about my emotions with my dad. I don't even know if I'd ever said at that point, at least for like many, many years or decades, that I loved my dad. And I don't remember him saying that to me, like when I was younger, yeah, but like not for a long time. And so this was an incredibly confronting conversation for me. It took all of my inner strength and willpower to call him up and to say, Dad, I need your help. I need to go to therapy and I need you to help me pay for it. And then the guilt came in because it's like, look at me, privileged, asking for money. I'm so lucky to even be in a position that I have a family who can pay for that because so many people can't. And then there was the stories of like, who are you to complain? Who are you to struggle, to suffer? But there was this other voice in me that was like, you need this help. We need this. And so my dad kind of like from my sort of memory of it, I don't know, really know what he said. I don't think he said much, but he was like, I'll wire you the money. And so I did it all really quickly. I booked it all really quickly because I knew that if I didn't, that I wouldn't go. I knew I would just try and numb out again and maybe resort to some of these other patterns. So I ended up in therapy and it was so powerful for me. And in many ways, I think about it as saving my life, quite literally. When I got into therapy, my therapist really quickly clued on to the fact that I was suffering from PTSD. All of the symptoms and the behaviors and the patterns that I was displaying was consistent with that. But it was so confusing to me because I'd never heard of anyone having PTSD other than people who went to war or were in these horrific incidents, these big traumas. And so again, there was guilt there for me and shame because it was like, who are you as this privileged woman who has so much available to her in the world and so many opportunities and this nice job and this nice apartment? Like, who are you to suffer? But my therapist really helped me to start validating and understanding what this really meant for me, for my lived experience and my circumstances. And at this point in time, I didn't have any recollection of the root trauma of what was going on, of the sexual abuse. I had wiped this from my conscious awareness at this point. But the therapy really, really helped me. It helped me to get a little bit of my confidence back and to start getting really responsible for myself, responsible for the life I wanted to live, the choices that I was making, the woman that I wanted to become, the partner that I wanted to eventually call in. What kind of life did I want to create and how could I start to take ownership and responsibility and power back in order to create that? So it was incredibly profound for me to have that experience. It was like the first experience that I'd ever had of having a space held for me in that way. And so as I went on my healing journey, this kind of started like spiraling into different kinds of patterns. So I started looking at my relationship with food and health and the way that I was nourishing my body. Up until this point, I'd just been damaging my body and harming myself, smoking those cigarettes, taking those drugs, sleeping with random people, doing all these things, drinking a bottle of vodka every night that I would go out. And so I started getting more into holistic health and learning how to go to the gym from a space of love and respect for my body versus just trying to be a certain weight or trying to harm myself in that way. And then I started drinking less. I started smoking less. I was doing this in small ways, small changes, small choices every single day. I was asking myself about the woman that I wanted to be and taking back control of how that woman was going to come to life through all of the choices that I make. And at the time, I was kind of doing this because the big transformation that I wanted for my life was so big that it was like impossible to even fathom how I was going to create that. Like if you told me back then that I would have the life that I have now and be the person that I am now, I wouldn't have been able to even conceive that. And so I was doing it choice by choice because this was actually helping me to take the action, to make the new choices. But in hindsight, I can also really see how powerful this was. I didn't even know how powerful I was being in those moments because something I believe now is that every choice we make is a bridge to the woman that we're born to become. The trajectory that we go on is made up and coded of tiny little choices. And so often when we're healing or we're manifesting or we're trying to create a big dream or make a really big thing happen in our business or our relationships, we focus a lot on the big picture. And sometimes we overlook the power of these small everyday moments and choices. And so I love and I thank this version of me, this past version of me. I felt so much shame about her for so long, but I love her and I thank her. And I'm touched by her courage to make those choices because those choices added up into the person that I now am, the woman that I became, the business that I now have that impacts thousands of women around the world, the marriage that I have now that brings me so much love and intimacy and joy. And the family and the lineage healing that happened as a result of me moving through my trauma because I wasn't the only one in my family. And this courage that I had to face it allowed my whole family to go on a healing journey, allowed addictions in my family to heal, allowed other people to reclaim their power and their lives too. And so I'm forever, forever grateful to that girl. And so if you're in a place where you feel a bit sticky or you feel like you're going through the things or you're having your dark night of the soul or you're going through your Saturn return or you feel like you're at rock bottom, I want you to remember this point in this episode, if this is touching your heart, because the version that you are now, your future self is going to thank her. She's going to thank you because she is you. Whew, we're getting deep. We're getting deep. I wanted to be completely unfiltered, raw, honest, and vulnerable with you in this episode. So around 2 years into my healing journey, things are going pretty good for me. I had had a bit of a psychic awakening, and so I decided to leave my job in Australia and move to London on a bit of a whim. And that in itself is a whole story because I'd actually just fallen in love with someone who was really beautiful and we had this really great relationship starting to blossom, and I had to make this really difficult choice to move even though things were going so well, but it was just this incredible crossroads sliding door moment where I chose myself. I chose my dreams and my desires, and I trusted my intuition. And that led me to London. And when I was in London, I had just started my business. Things were going well. I was like just seeing my first clients, doing my first Instagram lives. I remember there was like no one on my first Instagram lives. And Tristan, my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. He would like jump on the lives to cheer for me. And I was living in this tiny little bedroom in this beautiful house in Notting Hill. And it just felt like my dreams were happening. I felt so clear. I was completely sober. I wasn't drinking or taking any drugs or smoking or anything like that. And I just met Tristan as well. And our new relationship was just so beautiful and pure, and it was starting to bloom. And it was actually at this point in time that my original trauma memories resurfaced. So I was in my room in Notting Hill, and all of a sudden it was like this movie screen just fell down in front of my eyes. And all of a sudden I was this 10-year-old girl experiencing that violation, having her body being violated. It was like I was there again in the moment. And when I eventually came to the present moment, I was in the corner of the room on the floor, curled in a little ball, shaking. And it was one of the scariest, strangest experiences of my life. I had heard about people having flashbacks, but when I actually experienced it myself, it was almost indescribable and incredibly disruptive. And this happened again a couple of times as these memories started to resurface, but I found myself not being able to tell anyone again. But I knew from my experiences so far that like opening up and asking people for support and being vulnerable had really paid me so many rewards. It had been so amazing for me and so healing. And so I knew that I had to share and speak up. But every time I tried to share, every time I tried to open my mouth and tell Tristan or tell my family, I would just completely choke up. Nothing would come out of my throat and I would just start crying. And so it was around this time, and I mean, the synchronicity is so divine in hindsight, I'd booked to go on this personal development seminar. And the seminar is like pretty masculine in a way. It's very much about like, push through, do the things that you're afraid of, have the conversations you're afraid of. And in a way, that might have been too much for me a few years before, but I feel like I was finally in this place where my body and my nervous system was like, we're revealing this now so that you can let it go, so that you can heal this, so that you can feel powerful as you heal this. And so the seminar was actually really good for me because it allowed me to get up on stage and for the first time share to a room of like 200 strangers what had happened to me. I wrote a letter to my abuser and I read it. And all of these incredible people that I had only just met in this room showered me with so much love and compassion and care. And inside of that same seminar, I made calls to my family. I called my mom. I called my dad. I spoke to my brother and I shared what had happened to me. And I didn't need to do that. There was like a big part of me that was like, don't bring them into this. Don't make them feel bad. It's already happened. Just heal it on your own. But I realized that if I can't share my deepest pain and my deepest hurt and my deepest truth with my family, how am I ever going to have a deeply intimate, authentic, and truly loving relationship with any of them? And so that's why I shared. That's why I did that. I can literally like feel my heart right now as I'm saying it. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But it was at the same time, one of the most liberating moments of my entire life. And after I left that seminar, after that weekend, I never had a flashback ever again. during that seminar, I also called my abuser. I called my abuser and I confronted them and they apologized. It wasn't a perfect conversation. I don't feel like full responsibility was taken, but in that moment, I took full responsibility for my voice and my power and my life. And I needed to do that. I needed to say that was not okay. That was not okay, because I needed to advocate on behalf of that 10-year-old girl who couldn't advocate for herself, who wouldn't, who was afraid, who buried it inside and then dealt with self-harming for the next 10 years. Whew. And it was so freeing. It was terrifying and it was freeing, and it's not the path for everyone, but it was the path for me. And so from there, I felt the most free that I'd ever felt. I had allowed all of these people who I was terrified wouldn't be able to meet me in my vulnerability, meet me in my vulnerability. Tristan and I had only been together for a few months at this point, so I was terrified about this. I had all the voices in my head, like, he's going to think you're disgusting. He's going to think all of these things, all of these irrational thoughts that I know that many survivors of abuse run through their minds. And, you know, they might be irrational, but they feel real, these stories. And so for me to share what had happened, actually, it was the most incredible way to process that, because I was surrounded by people who validated my lived experience. And I was the one who was letting them validate me for the first time in my life. I was actually like pulling down the curtain and saying, this is the raw, messy, painful truth of what's here in this heart. And they loved me there. And it will forever be one of those moments, one of those chapters in my life that I'll never forget. I still get super emotional talking about it now, as you can probably hear. And so from there, being a new business owner, being in this like new blossoming relationship, being in London in this new foreign city across the other side of the world from everything that I had ever known, all of that suddenly felt different. I didn't feel so afraid. I didn't feel so afraid of making mistakes or figuring things out as I went. I didn't need to hide anymore from emotions, because I had faced the most difficult emotions and experiences and memories that I have ever faced. It was kind of like I'd climbed this mountain, and from there it was like, oh, well, all of this other stuff, like, yeah, there's difficult moments, but of course I can handle that, because look at that thing that I already handled. And it's not really like a mental thing that I can describe. It's something that my body felt. I suddenly felt so much safer to be in my body. And so when there are challenges or difficult experiences or things that come up that trigger me, it's so much easier to rest in this deep knowing now of like, I'm always safe because I've always got myself. And I think that was like the key thread of all of these experiences, is that I always had my back. Not always in my whole life, but in those breakpoint moments, in those breakthrough moments, I made that decision of like, I'm going to advocate for myself. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to believe myself even if no one else believes me. I'm going to be the one who goes out and takes her power back. I'm going to be the one who claims what she wants. I'm going to be the one to have difficult conversations so that I can heal. I'm going to be a stand for a love so deep that the messy truth comes with it. The vulnerability comes through it. And suddenly, confidence wasn't just this mental concept. It was a frequency that dwelled in who I was. It was a frequency that could never get taken away anymore. And it was a reclamation because I had lived my whole life robbed of that confidence, unable to feel my emotions, disassociated from my emotions, from my body, from my soul, from God, from my truth. And all of a sudden, feeling the things actually felt pretty good. It was like, oh, okay, difficult experience coming up. Glad I can actually feel it. Glad I can feel it right now and be with that rather than numbing it out. Glad I can be so brave that I can sit with these uncomfortable experiences and feelings. And that frequency still lives with me today. And I think it's one of the reasons why I'm pretty ballsy, right? Why I do these big things, cast these big visions for my life, take risks. And I'm not so hard on myself, you know, because I know that I've always got me. I know that whatever comes my way, as difficult as it might be, I'm going to face it. I'm going to have the courage to speak through it, to speak to it, to move with it, to move through it. And that courage is something that's going to be with me for the rest of my life because it's imprinted so deeply as a result of these experiences and this fierce inner mother for my inner child was born on that day that I stood up at that microphone. She was ignited on that day that I called that person and said, what you did was not okay. She was there the day I chose to forgive that person. She was there the day that I chose to no longer carry shame for the addictive, self-destructive, toxic, sometimes behaving woman that I had been. And she's still here. And she leads me and my inner child every single day. She's in the room when I'm holding space for other women's deepest pain. She's in the room with me when my business has a bit of a stumble, when someone's projecting something onto me. She was there for me earlier this year when I was getting really horrifically trolled online and my inner child was really sensitive and really upset and feeling like she wanted to pack up her business and close down her Instagram. She was there. She was online in the moment and she's here all the time. She's here with me now as I share this very vulnerable part of my life with you because she knows that there's medicine in this story for other people. And she knows that we're brave enough to give it, to be a stand for it. And so when people ask me, how are you so confident? I'm just going to have to tell them to listen to this episode, right? There are so many other stories in my life, so many experiences that you will never get to see through the tiny little screen of Instagram or even on this podcast. I could spend the rest of my life recording and there would still be more because life is complex and nuanced and not absolutely everything is for show. Not everything is for my audience, but I'll always commit to sharing what I believe is necessary and important and medicine for you. Whilst also letting you in on the fact that we're all human and not all of us feel amazing when we're being courageous. Being courageous feels scary as fuck, right? I was at that microphone shaking like a leaf, crying my eyes out, feeling all the emotions. I didn't feel like a badass when I called that person up and said what I said. I felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff, right? But the woman that I know myself as now is a result of doing it, doing that anyway, despite the fear. And so I want you to know, if you're on a journey of claiming your personal power, it might look the same as mine. It might look completely different. If you're on a journey to becoming more confident, more untamed, more self-expressed, more you, it's going to be scary. There's going to be tears. Sometimes your heart's going to feel like it's cracking open, and sometimes life is going to feel like it's cracking you open. But I want you to know that it's those moments and those choices that are the bridge to who you are and who you're going to become. And there's a version of you somewhere in time and space who's going to be so grateful for your choice, who's going to be so grateful for your tenacity and your courage and your ability to fall down 8 times and get up 9 times. And those rock bottom moments of your life can sometimes, if not always, be some of the most miraculous turning points in your life, who you are, and the gifts that you have to share with the world through your story too. If you've listened this far, thank you so much. Thank you for being a space for me to share with you. Thank you for your kindness and your love and your empathy and your attentiveness. As always, I adore you. I appreciate you. If this episode resonates for you, let me know. And most importantly, if you feel this episode would be helpful to someone in your life, give the gift of sending them the link. Because sometimes the people who need the support the most, kind of like past me, are the people who keep their shit together really tight on the outside. And sometimes we need someone to reach out to us and to say, hey, I've got you. I care about you. Until the moment where we learn that we got ourselves. Sending you so much love, and I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is thisisamyrushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.